Do you know that song? I Believe in Miracles. John chapter 12 today, John chapter 12. In John chapter 11, Jesus worked a great miracle. He raised Lazarus from the grave. A lot of truth in that text, a lot of good preaching there, teaching, a lot of application. We come to chapter 12, and Lazarus is there, and of course he's alive now. That's been a great miracle. It's the fame of it's gone all over the place. And so Jesus comes again, and we're going to read, let's begin reading in verse 9. John chapter 12 and verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So he was dead, and the Lord raised him, so the Jews wanted to kill him again. But Jesus could have just raised him again. Amen? But I want to draw your attention to the words in verse 9. They came not for Jesus' sake only. Not for Jesus' sake only. But they did come for him. He ought to have the preeminence in everything, but a lot of times people do what they do for Jesus plus something. Sometimes the plus is taken away and we just do it for the Lord. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, help us today as we minister your word, as we hear it. May it find tender hearts. May you be able to speak to us and enlighten us. God, thank you, as Gino prayed, for all the blessings that we have. And we look for those today in our service. We look for miracles, Lord, things that only you can do. Only you can change a heart. And thank you for the grace and the mercy and the kindness you always show towards us. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great, great text. You know, over the years, when you think about this, why do you do what you do for the Lord? You know, I'm sure you've contemplated that from time to time. We all have motives for what we do. But if you've ever taken some time to think about it, for whose sake do you do things? Over the years, I've been pastoring around 40 years. And again, for the visitor we have today, I was ordained when I was 4. And so 44 plus. But I've questioned over the years, why am I doing what I'm doing? Maybe you've had those questions too. Why do I preach? And why do I pastor? And preaching is a lot different than pastoring. There's a verse in the Bible that says, no man taketh this honor on himself, but he that is called of God. So it's not something somebody says, well, that's a good profession. I think I'll just be a pastor or whatever. Jeremiah said, God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And in the same verse in chapter 1, he says, and I ordained thee a prophet. That's why abortion, or especially late-term abortion, I mean, it's hideous, amen? Because life begins at conception. And so even before, God has a plan for that person. I believe God had a plan for me. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And in Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 20, Jeremiah has been through a lot of trials, and he says, I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. He was the prophet. He had seen God use him in his messages and his miracles. But he says, I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. But he said, but his word was in my bones like a fire, and I could not forbear. So he had to preach. So I stand before you today because the Lord wants me to. Amen? Some people aren't here in church today, but maybe you're here because your wife made you come. Amen? I'm here because my wife made me come. That's another joke, okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, under the qualifications of a pastor, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And there's a whole list of things there, but as a young preacher, it's easy to get proud in that position. You also have in 2 Peter chapter 5 that I am to feed the flock of God willingly, not of constraint. I'm to do it for the Lord and be an overseer. And it says, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind. So you don't do it for the money. Amen. You don't do it just for pride. You don't do it for the money. Judges chapter 18, there's a story there about Micah. And in Micah's house, he had his family. And there was a Levite there that became his priest. And so it was a very small group that this man was a priest for. And the Danites came, and there was a number of them, and they took this Levite, and they made him a priest unto them. But they said this, it's in chapter 18, and they said, wouldn't you rather be a priest to a tribe, a whole tribe, than just to one household? That's another temptation pastors have. Amen? The bigger and better machine. It's got to be a larger church, you know. So you go through all those things. So I have personally gone through all that, and here I am because God definitely led us here. Amen? Come on now. Amen? But you know, you end up where God wants you to be, and it's for his sake. And I just want to preface the sermon today with those truths. Paul told Timothy that the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, so they would not want to hear the word. God told Ezekiel, they will come before you and sit as my people, and they will hear the word, but they will not do that. In Amos chapter 8, God told the prophet there that there was a day coming where there would be a famine, not of bread and water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. We know that we're in the last days. But praise the Lord, we're here in church today. I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. You're church members, you've come today to hear the word of God, and God is honored by that. Amen? He's honored by that. So we'll see what he has to say to us today, and I trust that it'll be a blessing. So again, ever think about why you do what you do? Have you thought about why you came to church today? And some people really like to come to church. I would say come even when you don't want to come, because you're doing it for him. Amen? We're not always in line with our emotions. To do right isn't always a feel-good thing. It's something that we just do. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 17, we read, for Herod himself sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Well, that was John the Baptist that said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias got mad at that, and so she influenced Herod to put John the Baptist in prison. So he did it for Herodias' sake. Well, while John the Baptist is in prison, Herodias' daughter comes and dances before this great assembly of dignitaries, and Herod is there. And he said to her, ask of me up to half the kingdom. I'll give you whatever you ask for. So she went back and she talked to her mother, who did not like John the Baptist at all. And she said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And so she came back out and asked him. This is down in verse 26. And it says, and the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for the sakes of them which sat with him, he would not reject her. He did that terrible, despicable act. He used to hear John gladly. He used to hear what he had to say. But because of this influence, for their sake, he had John the Baptist beheaded. That would have been a good time to change his mind. Amen? You know, and sometimes we do things that are not right just because we're influenced by somebody else. For their sakes. God does things for us from his mercy's sake. It says his name's sake, his goodness' sake. My grandmother used to always say, for goodness' sake. Remember that? For goodness' sake, or mercy's sake. That's kind of an old-time thing they used to say. You know, a lot of things have been done for Pete. Yeah. For Pete's sake, you know. And there's probably a lot more of those. But for whose sake do we do things for God? Now, sometimes in a home, we do it for our wife, or the wife does it for the husband, or the children for the parents, or the parents for the children, etc., etc., etc. But and sometimes that's good. There's an encouragement, maybe when we're discouraged. Amen? And somebody encourages you to do the right thing. But many, many times, it's just you and the Lord. And we do it for His sake. Boy, that's a real powerful truth. Because that's really where the rubber meets the road. That's what it's all about. In John chapter 13 and verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. That's quite a statement. I believe Peter meant that. I believe he meant every word of it. I will lay down my life for your sake. In the book of Matthew, I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. I believe that was Peter's heart. But it wasn't till the next verse, John chapter 13, verse 38. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. The Lord knew what he would do, but then the Lord forgave Peter and still used him. You ever really sure of something and dedicated to do something for the Lord, and then the next day you're not so dedicated, you know? Maybe it wasn't even the next day. Maybe it was an hour later. Sometimes we sit in a church service and we say, boy, that's good. And we make a decision. And sometimes you can leave church and throw the decision out the window. But it is for His sake. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So we're doers of the word. You'll find out for whose sake you're doing something when there's a cost involved, or when there's nobody with you, and it's just something the Lord wants you to do. You have 1 Corinthians 10:25, for conscience sake. We all have a conscience. Some people have consciences seared with a hot iron, so they don't have that any longer. But if you have a conscience, that speaks to you. When there's something wrong or something that's not good, it'll tell you. So for conscience sake, we do the right thing. You have in 1 Timothy 5:23, for thy stomach's sake. Think of what we do for health. Amen? And I have discovered, and my wife reads and does all of this, I've discovered that chocolate and coffee is the best thing for your health. Absolute best thing. Even ice cream is really good. Amen? Man, ice cream is good for your health. But, I mean, there's a lot of things we do for our health. Well, okay, I'm not going to eat so much this or so much of that. And our appetite takes over, right? So for our stomach's sake, for our health's sake, we say this is what's right to do, but something else leads us another way. You have Titus 1:11, for filthy lucre's sake. That's in Titus. It's also found in 2 Peter 5 and 1 Timothy 3. You go to 1 Timothy 6, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So for the sake of God, this would be right, but Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. And so there's always something pulling. Amen? Always something pulling. They came not for Jesus only, but they came to see Lazarus. You have 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. I just want to read a couple of these verses. Paul says this to this carnal church. It was a very carnal church. There's a lot of pride here, but it's a good comparison. He said, we are fools for Christ's sake. In other words, what we are doing for Him. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. That's powerful, isn't it? But they were doing it for Christ's sake. Being reviled, we bless. It goes on and says, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things unto this day, but we're doing it for Christ's sake. It's powerful, powerful verses. 2 Timothy 4:5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. There's a couple other scriptures. The Bible principle is found in a number of places, but he that is greatest among you shall be your minister. Not your pastor, but your minister, or somebody ministers to you. A servant is a very important position. Amen. We would think it opposite in the world. You have 2 Corinthians 4:11. We preach, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul said before, he said, I die daily. So it's not my life, it's his life. He said in 2 Corinthians 12, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It produces something. We pray in Jesus' name. You know, we end a prayer in Jesus' name. And many times we say, and for his sake. So that's what the Christian life is all about. Look what he's done for us. He's been so kind. He's given us a home in heaven, forgiveness of sins, just the comfort and all of the blessings that we could go through. And so we live for him. God bewrote the glorious spiritual freedom which we enjoy delights to condescend for Jesus' sake and become a servant of all. We show mercy with cheerfulness. We give with a cheerful heart. Because of what he's done for us. And so there's this giving over to the Lord. And when we do that, he fills us. Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So Paul is living a life that is a blessing to the church. Amen? Because the church is Christ's body. That's his body. We have Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That's talking about that local body. Sure, there's this greater body, but this is the local body right here. Amen? And so we do things for the body's sake, for Christ's sake, for the church. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, I was hungered and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. And it goes on and on and on. And they said, when did we do that for you? And he says in verse 40, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it also unto me. We've done it for somebody, but we're doing it for the Lord. In verse 45, then shall he answer them, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, as much as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. So when we do something for a brother, a sister, a lost person, we're doing it for Christ's sake. Not so we benefit from it, just so he benefits from it. In Matthew 23, Jesus preaches that sermon, and in verse 5, he says this, all their works they do for to be seen of men. He's talking about the religious crowd. They do what they do to be seen. Haven't you done that? I have. I've done it a lot of times. Amen? You ever trip going into a business establishment, you know, and you're so embarrassed, right, what somebody sees? Maybe you haven't experienced that. Boy, I have. You look around, hope nobody saw you, you know. In Matthew chapter 6, three times, by the way, it says the same thing there. You do to be seen of men what you do. Three times it says in Matthew 6, the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's because we do it for him. There's a lot of things we do for the Lord. Prayer, amen. Things for people that nobody knows. You ever give something to somebody send somebody something and you don't tell them who it is, you know, that's a blessing. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Here it is again. There's another principle. John 21:17. Jesus is speaking to Simon. This is obviously after the resurrection. And he says to Simon, Peter, do you love me? And he says, well, Lord, you know I love you. And so the Lord says, feed my sheep. And so the Lord says again, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said, well, feed my lambs. And the third time, why did he ask him three times? I think because Peter denied him three times. But here it says in John 21:17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Here it is again. Here's the principle. Do you love me? Do you want to do something for me? This is how you do it. We have in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. For Christ's sake, he forgave us. For Christ's sake, we are to forgive others. We are to be kind one to another. How can I do something for the Lord? Be kind to somebody. Amen? Be merciful. 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may come to Christ. He says, I endure all things. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen, ladies? How can you do something for the Lord? You can be submissive to your husband. I was going to say submissive to your wife. Could work. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How can you do something? Let piety first be found at home. We don't have to do it in some large arena. It's things that can be done in our homes. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. The Bible talks about having an unbelieving boss. I've had bosses when I worked secular jobs that I did not like. I've had bosses that were dishonest. And the list can go on and on and on and on. Well, how do you treat those men or those women? I think that's important because it's a testimony. It says that the word of God be not blasphemed. You also have, or his doctrine be not blasphemed. Titus 2:5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Stand still for his sake. Just stand still. Amen? Take your time. Don't worry, don't be in a hurry. You don't have to be hasty about something. Sometimes God just wants you to stand still, and you do that for his sake. Forgive for his sake. You ever forgive somebody that they don't deserve forgiveness? And why did you do it? Well, my wife made me do it, you know, or my parents made me do it. Tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry, you know? And that's not what we're talking about. We do these things. We forgive for Christ's sake. Endure hardness for his sake. Suffer for his sake. Serve for his sake. These are the things that are difficult. When we look at something we're going to prosper from or something that is going to be good for us, it's easy to serve the Lord. Amen? It's easy to do things where there's gratitude for doing them, or there's kind of financial consideration for doing that, or some reputational thing for doing that. Is that a word, Gino, reputational? It is now. Put it in the dictionary. Amen? And, you know, you look at things that you do for the Lord, like we get together and we do something here at the church and we just have a good time. Amen? Just have fun with brothers and sisters in Christ. But sometimes we do something and we're all alone doing it. And there's nobody to have fun with. And we just do it because it's right to do. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. A lot of our work for the Lord and our service for the Lord only is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. We give thanks for his sake. We rejoice for his sake. Sometimes we're lonely for his sake. We're just alone. We're misunderstood for his sake. We sing. We witness. We pray. We do all of those things. We praise for his sake. You might have come today just for his sake. Don't beat yourself up if you don't want to be here. Amen? At least you did the right thing. You did it for his sake. And don't come in the church and say, man, I really didn't want to be here, but I'm really making a sacrifice to come today. You know, just kind of keep that to yourself and let God turn that heart, because you'll always be glad you did the right thing. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Just do it for his glory. Now we come to the main thing, and we are always to have the main thing, the main thing. There's a lot of ways to serve the Lord, but what is God's heart? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? Jesus came to forgive sinners. And we were sinners and God saved us, amen? What a blessing that is. You have 1 Corinthians 9:23. This I do for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. Because that's for the word's sake. That's for the church's sake. That's for Christ's sake. In Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That was what it was all about. And so Paul is saying to the church, pray for me so that when I open my mouth wide, God will fill it. So that when I speak, the gospel will go forth. So that that word of God, that mind that's thinking of what to say next, will go forth and will be prosperous in the hearts of those that hear it. Pray that hearts would be tender when you come to church, but pray also for the word. And Paul is saying, pray for me. I need your prayers. Every time I get in a pulpit, I pray. You say, well, that was a dull sermon. Pray a little harder, amen? Pray next week that it won't be dull. But why is this so important? You never know who needs the word. And God can open that heart, and so we pray about that. Philippians 2:22, about Timothy. You know the proof of him that is a son with the Father. He has served me in the gospel. Philippians 4:3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Our church is a blessing, and there's a lot of people that are involved in a lot of things. And, you know, when we improve anything at the church, we'll make this parking lot look nicer. Why do we do that? Well, so we can brag on how good our church looks. No, you want the church to look good so that people will come in and they'll see how important that is to you. Amen? This is a tool. The church is a tool. And we use it for the glory of God to see people saved. I think that's so important. He sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Let me get a little personal here tonight, or today. J.A. James wrote this. Although the pulpit is intended to be a pedestal for the cross, even the cross itself is sometimes used as a mere pedestal for the preacher's fame. And the church and the number and the position and all of the things go with it. We may roll the thunders of eloquence. We may scatter the flowers of poetry. We may diffuse the light of science. We may enforce the precepts of morality from the pulpit. But if we do not make Christ the great subject of our preaching, we have forgotten our errand and shall do no good. Satan trembles at nothing but the cross. At this he does tremble. And if we would destroy his power and extend that holy and benevolent kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it must be by means of the cross. That is the main thing. Jesus died for us. Amen. And faith in Christ sets us free from the power of sin and death. Gives us a home in heaven. That is the message. We were not able to have our carnival this year. It would be tomorrow. But last year, you think of all those children, they got a little gospel message, but why did we do that? Why did we open the church up and have all the games and all of the work involved in that? So we could touch somebody, so they could see our heart that we're interested in a community, so ultimately the gospel could go out. That's what that is all for. Preaching and teaching is for Jesus' sake. Hearing and learning and obeying is for Jesus' sake. We all have a part to do in the service. I think it's a blessing. There was a prayer. I'm going to read this by an Ethiopian in Wallahu, Ethiopia, and he made this prayer. And I've done a lot of missions work, and I've traveled to a lot of third world countries. And when you go to a place that is oppressed, it really is a different atmosphere. It really is a different spirit, because the people who were oppressed and maybe were not allowed to gather in a church at one time. Romania was like that. Ukraine was like that. Moldova was like that. And when you would go and you would either teach the Bible or preach the Bible, they would come out of the woodwork. All they wanted to do was hear the Bible. It didn't matter how long or how many preachers. I think I mentioned before, one time we were in a meeting, and it was a big hall, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people there. And I think there were 6 or 8 preachers, and we all preached. I mean, it was a long time. Amen? Sometimes, what do I preach? How long do I preach? Seems like, what, 4 hours? You know? Sometimes it's 30 minutes. Sometimes it's 45 minutes. We must have preached for 5-6 hours. And they just sat there, and we got all done. And there was a host of people saved. What I'm saying, therefore, is because they were oppressed, they had a different mindset, a different heart for receiving the things of God, at least in that arena, in that area. But listen to this. The following prayer was prayed by this Ethiopian. Almighty God, from the depth of my heart, I plead with thee to send us trouble. Ever pray that? In Proverbs, actually, it's a biblical prayer. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7, 8, and 9, the wise man is praying, God, don't make me poor, lest I curse thee, and don't make me rich, lest I deny thee. Feed me with food convenient. You know, just don't go this extreme or that extreme. You ever pray God kept you poor? or God wouldn't make you rich? I guess I should say that. God, I want to be a blessing. Please don't make me rich. I don't think I've prayed that prayer in a while. Amen? He goes on. When our king was exiled, we were in much trouble with the foreign rulers. We had to meet in secret and were in constant danger of our lives. That was the time when we worked in harmony with our fellow Christians. Many a night after I had locked my door and gone to bed, tired from a day's long journey of preaching and teaching, there came a persistent knocking. Lord, how I wanted to sleep. And surely, but they wouldn't want to be baptized at night and be hunted and chased and put in prison and beaten. But they said they had seen the Christians' joy and they wanted that religion. Every night, there were more and more. We read the word and talked about it and prayed through the nights. We shared our joy in the Lord. We worked side by side with only one desire, to preach and teach the gospel. Then, Lord, our king came back. The foreign rulers were forced to leave our country. We have peace in our land. We baptize in the daytime. We are not beaten. We meet and pray, yes, but we are beginning to grow careless in our zeal for thee. Jealousies creep in and spoil the harmony. Petty troubles take on in large meetings. We are selfish in our ambitions. Dear Lord, send us more trouble, I pray thee, that we may forget ourselves and be so dependent on thee that we have no time to become selfish and jealous of our fellow Christians. For Jesus' sake, amen. That was his prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. In the book of Acts, when the persecution spread, it says they went everywhere preaching the word. A little bit of persecution can make a Christian and a church stronger, not weaker, because we're more needy. I've said this before, but when I was pastoring and we had the Gulf War, boy, the church just filled up and people saw what was important. And then when peace came and that was over, then the opposite was true. The gospel. Why do we give the gospel out? For his sake. For his sake. If you believed that everybody you witnessed to would get saved, you wouldn't stop. Amen? And what we do is that rejection kind of stifles us. But when God lets you see somebody come to know the Lord, that is really, really a blessing. But let me just say this. Whether you ever reap the harvest or not, you planted the seed. And we plant that seed for Jesus' sake. Amen? Just, it's what God does for us. And God can put that in us. And we can ask ourselves when we know what's right to do, I'm going to do this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you're here today and you've never received the Lord as your Savior, he died for you in your place, bore your sin debt. He's raised again for your justification. And if you ask him to be your Savior, he will joyfully, cheerfully, freely forgive you of all your sin and give you a home in heaven. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. If you've never asked him to be your Savior, you can pray a prayer, simple prayer, silent prayer. God will hear the prayer of your heart. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me. Give me a home in heaven. In Jesus' name. Father, we're so grateful that we can do. We can pray. We can minister. We can share. We can witness. All for you. You've done so much for us. Put that in our hearts today, Lord, and be glorified. May we do it all for you. In Jesus' name.